Well, this morning we're going to begin a new sermon series that we have entitled Learning to Love Like Jesus. And what we're going to be doing for the next month or two on Sunday morning is we're going to be walking through the Gospel of John, and we're going to watch Jesus and we're going to learn from him as he interacts every single week with someone different. And we're going to find some principles as we work through the Gospel of John to help us love the people in our life. When I was writing the introduction to this series, I said loving people isn't always easy. In fact, sometimes it seems almost impossible, doesn't it? Sometimes the people in our life do some things and we just look at them and we say, how in the world, God, do you expect me to be able to walk with them, love them, and interact with them, especially when someone lets us down? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we look at this relationship between Peter and Jesus. I want you to take a look at this video, and then I'm going to read you a story that takes place just a little bit after the event that's encountered here in the video.
We were walking by the gates of hell, not the literal gates of hell, but the ones at Caesarea Philippi, where the pagan worshippers had their idols. We're walking by, and we're nervous. Our hearts are beating out of our chest because we're Jewish men. This is not our place. We don't fit in. We're wondering why we're there. And Jesus stops, and he looks at us, and he just asks this question: who do people say I am? Okay, well, we think Bartholomew, he spoke up. Bart said, some people say John the Baptist. Someone else, I don't remember who it was, said, some people say a prophet. Someone else said Elijah. And then Jesus just interrupts us, and he says, what about you? Who do you say I am? That's a big question. You don't want to get this one wrong. So we're all sitting there in awkward silence. And Peter just starts pointing. Nothing's coming out of his mouth, just pointing. And then it just came out. You are the Christ. And Jesus just smiles. When he smiled, that's when I noticed that the whole time we'd been talking, Jesus had been digging in the dirt. He would do that. He stands up and he's got this stone in his hand. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you're right, I'm the Christ. And then he looked at Peter and he said, you're the rock. A rock on which to build my church. A church that will be so strong that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. So, who do I say he is? I saw things that to this day I can't explain. I experienced a love so deep, and it changes you from the inside out. He is the Christ. And like he said, he's coming back to rescue us. And nothing can stop him. Nothing. Not even the gates of hell can stop him.
Sometimes Peter got it absolutely right. Every once in a while, you know, he would just open his mouth and he would just, it's like, you know, coming up to the plate and he would just knock it out of the park. And then sometimes, as good as he was just as bad. Sometimes he'd walk up to the plate and he would simply strike out. I want you to take a listen to something that happened just a little bit after that event. Seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight, and she looked closely at him and she said, "This man was with them." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You're also one of them." And Peter replied, "Man, I am not." About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Peter's just like you and I. He's just like the people in our life. Sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get it wrong. It happens to all of us. You're going through the credit card bill, and you look down, and all of a sudden you realize that your spouse has just gone crazy. And there are thousands, sometimes, of dollars, of charges that you knew absolutely nothing about. They've been hiding something from you, or maybe it's a relationship at work, something that they're flirting with, something that they're toying with, or even worse sometimes. Maybe it's your parents that have let you down. They've made a mistake and they don't support you the way that you feel that they should. Sometimes it's a coworker that completely throws us under the bus. You thought that they were your friend, but you discover that behind your back they've been doing something entirely different. Sometimes it's a friend that you really need, and you thought you could count on them. You thought when you needed someone that they were the ones who would always be there for you. And then you picked up the phone and you made the call, and they weren't there. They couldn't make time in their schedule for you. How do you love people that let you down? Now, you can choose to simply go, "You know what, you're out of my life, go away. Don't want to have anything to do with you anymore." But I promise you, if you do that sooner or later, there's going to be no one in your circle. Because everyone is going to let you down at some time or another. We're all human. No one can get it right every single time. How do you rebuild a relationship when someone lets you down, when they hurt you, when they deeply disappoint you, when you want to walk away, but you know that the right thing to do is restore and renew and learn to love them the way that Jesus loved people? Well, as we take a look at what happens with Peter and Jesus this morning, we're going to get some principles that will help us in our everyday life. Now, let me give you a little parenthesis here. I'm not talking about a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship. That's not what I'm talking about. There are some toxic relationships. There are some abusive relationships where that person has so consistently and so regularly hurt you and harmed you that it's time to simply say, "I'm going to forgive you, but we can't be in a relationship anymore. I'm going to walk away." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those people who you want to keep in your life, those people that truly, authentically love you, but they just made a mistake. They've let you down. They have deeply hurt and deeply disappointed you. How do you love people that let you down? Jesus models that for us because, you see, Peter was someone that he wanted to be in relationship with. Peter was a guy that he's been walking with for 3 years now. Peter was a guy who regularly gets it right, and this time, Peter blew it. I mean, three times in a row. Think about that. Even with a warning from Jesus, this is going to happen, Peter, three times in a row. He totally denied Jesus at that point. So, how do you love people that let you down? Well, the first thing I want to say to you is this. Number one, have some realistic expectations in your life. Okay? Have realistic expectations in your life. Jesus knew in his relationship with Peter what was going to take place. He knew that Peter was human. But Peter wasn't going to get it right every single time. As a matter of fact, over in the Gospel of John in chapter 13, Peter said this. He said, "Lord, I will lay my life down for you." Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to lay my life down with you. Jesus had just told him that he's going to be going to the cross, that this is what's going to be taking place. Peter says, Lord, everybody else might desert you. Everybody else might run away. Everybody else might let you down, but not me. You can count on me. And Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three different times. Jesus knew Peter, and while Peter's heart was right, sometimes his follow-through left a little to be desired. He enters this entire process knowing that Peter is going to blow it. He knows that Peter is human and he will fail. And we have to be the same way with the people in our life. Sometimes we have entirely unrealistic expectations of people. That they're always going to get it right. That they're never going to slip up. That they're never going to make a mistake. That they're never going to let us down. I do a lot of premarital counseling. And I use an inventory. It's called Prepare and Enrich. And what it does is it measures expectations. It's not particularly about right and wrong, but it's more about what is this person thinking and what is that person thinking and where do they meet up and where do they miss. My favorite question of the entire inventory, and there's probably 100-150 questions, is the one that says, do you think that your fiancé could ever do anything that would make you love them less? And then I go back. It's always the first question that I go back and look at. And you grade it on a scale of 1 to 5. And then there's invariably about half of the crowd who goes over there and they look for that 5. No, they could never do anything that would make me love them less. I'm thinking, well, you've only been dating about 2 weeks then, haven't you? Because sooner or later, this person's going to let you down. There's a reason that we say love is blind. You know, when you come in with unrealistic expectations, it's called, when you go back and you look at the inventory, it measures the level of idealistic distortion, which means that they can't see very clearly. Of course, your fiancé is sometimes going to do something that disappoints you or hurts you or lets you down. That's not the point. The point is that you have a realistic expectation and you learn how, when that happens, to love people that let you down. Aren't you glad that God doesn't expect that we are always going to be perfect, that we're going to get it right every single time, that we are never going to do anything wrong? How do you love people that let you down? Well, first of all, start off with a realistic expectation. Give people in your life room to be human. Take a breath and go, you know what? Sometimes we all make mistakes. Peter, it's okay. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times, and I know that. But that doesn't mean that I don't love you. That doesn't mean that we can't be in relationship. Secondly, you have to believe the best of their heart. Over in Luke chapter 22, Peter and Jesus are having this dialogue again. And Jesus says this to Peter. He says, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith may not fail. Now look at this. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, what is Jesus doing there? He's speaking words of belief into Peter's life. He's saying, listen, Peter, I know that you're human. I know that you're going to make a mistake. I know that you're going to let me down. But that's okay. I believe the best of your heart. And if you are going to learn how to love people the way that Jesus loved people, if you're going to learn how to love people that let you down, you're going to have to come to that place in your life that even though their actions may not demonstrate that they love you at that point, you believe in their heart that they do. You have to look beyond sometimes the actions. It doesn't feel like at this point that they love you. They have hurt you. They have let you down. They have disappointed you. But you have to look beyond that. Aren't you glad when people do that for you? When they believe your heart and when you look at them and you go, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? You have to believe the best of their heart. That's an incredibly important part of the process
of restoration and rebuilding. When you're hurting, when you've been let down, you have to trust that that person truly does have your best interest at heart. It doesn't feel like that. But you have to give them the benefit of the doubt and you have to trust their heart. You don't write them off because they have let you down. You have to look beyond that. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Listen, Peter, I know what's going to happen. And I also know when it's all said and done, you're going to turn back. You're going to come back. We're still going to be in a relationship. And we're going to be able to go forward together. And Peter, not only that, but I'm going to be able to use you to bless so many other people." How do you love people like Jesus? You believe the best of their heart. You take the first step. You take the first step toward restoration. Now that's the hard one. Because they're the one who made the mistake. They should be the one to start, right? It's on you. It's on you're the one that did this, not me. But when you love someone the way that Jesus loves them, you take the first step toward restoration. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark. It's an important passage of Scripture that I want you to see this morning. It's really the heart of what we are going to spend some of our time on together, because it's very important to catch what is happening here. This is taking place on that first Easter Sunday morning. Jesus is speaking into the life of those who have come to see Him, those who have come to anoint His body. They think that He's dead. They think that He's gone. They're not expecting the resurrection. And I want you to follow what happens. There's this one little phrase here in the middle that's so very important. When the Sabbath was over, so we're on the morning of the third day now, Easter Sunday morning. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene. He was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Now look at verse 7. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." This is the heart of what I want you to see this morning. When we've been hurt, when we've been betrayed, when we've been let down, we typically will wait for the other person to approach us. I mean, after all, they owe us. They're the ones who have created this issue. They're the ones who have made this problem. And I want you to notice that Jesus didn't do that with Peter. Jesus took the first step. He reached out to Peter. There's this thing that's going on in this Easter account here that is really important to notice. There's kind of two different layers that are taking place. First of all, there's this global perspective of what is happening. This is the single most important event in all of human history. Mankind has been separated from God by their sin. It goes all the way back to the garden with Adam and Eve, when we chose through them to disobey God and live our life without Him. And so that separation is there, and God is in the process of paying the price for that sin through the death of His Son as a substitute for us. And He's putting His stamp of approval on that payment. That the doors of heaven have been opened, the price of sin has been paid through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here's the single most important event in all of human history. The salvation of the world. And in the middle of that, here's this one little phrase. Jesus takes the opportunity to tell this young man, who's probably an angel, "Tell the disciples, and oh, by the way, specifically, let Peter know." Peter needs a little help, guys. right? On the third morning, how do you think Peter's feeling this morning? Jesus warned him this is going to happen. How do you feel when you let someone down? It's awful. How do you feel when you let God down? When you do something that you know you shouldn't do. Just put yourself in Peter's shoes at this moment. When the women show up and they say to him, "Hey, listen, all you guys, all your disciples, Jesus said he wants to see you over in Galilee." And old Peter, by the way, he specifically asked for you. Now, I don't know about you. I would have had a hard time. I don't want to see people I've let down. You know, I call it the mall test. I'm walking through the mall and I see you coming my way and I have disappointed, I have hurt you, I have let you down. You know, I'll go in any store to avoid seeing you. Right? You know, what's the pastor doing over there? What's he looking for in Forever 21? He's a long way from 21. I'm shopping. I'm trying to stay away from somebody, right? You know? I don't want to see somebody that I've let down, that I've disappointed. But imagine what it must have felt like for Peter. That in the middle of this single most important event in all of human history, Jesus takes the time, the care to personally reach out to Peter and say, "I want to see you over in Galilee." You see, that's an example of God doing the same thing with all of us. That's what Easter is all about. It's about God taking that first step toward us and saying, "Yes, I know that you've blown it. Yes, I know that you've made mistakes. Yes, I know that you've lived your entire life as if I'm not even here. But I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know I'm going to walk in relationship with you. I want you to know that I care." I mean, that's that John 3:16 verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." He didn't wait for us to make the first move. He initiated that contact in that relationship. The fourth thing that you have to do is you have to forgive them. And not just forgive them, but clearly communicate that you have forgiven. Now, we're not so good at that part. Either the forgiving or sometimes the clearly communicating that we are forgiving. To forgive means to release someone from a debt that is rightfully owed to you. It's not something that you have to do. It's not something that you're required to do. But it is a choice that you make out of love. Jesus models that for us on the cross. They are nailing Him to the cross and His prayer is, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." But not only is it important for us to forgive, we have to clearly communicate that forgiveness. It's important in the process of restoration and renewal that you clearly let the one that has hurt you know, "We're good. There's nothing between us anymore. That barrier is broken down. It's removed. It's taken away." Now, I want you to see how Jesus does that with Peter. Go back over to the Gospel of John. I want you to take a look at that. In John chapter 21, Jesus is again having this interaction with Peter. This is what takes place when they all go over to Galilee. Jesus, through the angel, says to him, "Hey, listen, tell the disciples, and by the way, specifically Peter, I'm going to see you guys over in Galilee." And so they pack their bags, they go over to Galilee, and this is what happens when they are over in Galilee. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. They said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, Have you caught any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, hit the pause button. We're going to stop there for just a second. We're going to come back and finish the story. But you got to catch the flow of what is happening here. The angel says to the disciples, listen, you go over to Galilee and you wait for Jesus there. He's going to meet you. So they're over in Galilee. They're hanging out. They're waiting to see Jesus. Peter looks up. He's like, I'm bored. I'm going to go fishing. So he gets in the boat and he goes out and he goes fishing. Guys upon the seashore, they don't know who it is. He hollers at them, hey, you guys got any fish? Now, does anybody remember 3 years earlier this little encounter between Jesus and Peter and the fishing boat? Jesus comes walking along. It's very early in his ministry. Maybe, if not the first, one of the first times that he and Peter have ever interacted. Jesus has a crowd following him. So he gets in Peter's boat. Peter's sitting there. He's just finished fishing all night long and he hasn't caught a thing. Peter gets in the boat. Jesus gets in the boat, pushes off a little bit from shore. He preaches the sermon. Finishes the sermon. He looks at Peter and says, hey, Peter, put out into deep water and we'll catch some fish. Now, Peter, having a little attitude, looks at Jesus and he says, look, you may be the preacher. Well, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, okay? He didn't actually say it this way. He looks at him and says, Jesus, you're the preacher, I'm the fisherman. Been fishing all night long, hadn't caught a fish. Ain't no fish out there, Jesus. Ain't going to be no fish out there. But if you say so, I'll do it. Now, there's another sermon there on if you will say so, I'll do it. So they go out. He puts the net down, catches so many fish, the net starts to break. That's the point that Peter clues in 3 years earlier and realizes who he's dealing with. Now, 3 years later, having denied Jesus 3 times, having Jesus specifically ask for him to meet him in Galilee, Jesus reenacts this story for him. And I think what Jesus is saying is, Peter, look, it's okay. It's all good. But he doesn't let it stop there. Read the rest of the story. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Then the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. You see, Jesus is communicating to Peter in every way possible. Peter, it's okay. We're good. He specifically, by name, called him out and said, Peter, I want to see you over in Galilee. Don't you walk away from me. Don't you live in your failure. Don't you live in your shame. Don't you live in your denial. You come back to me. And when he got there, he relived some of their initial relationship.
And if you've been in church any time at all, you've probably heard the story here of the three different times when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" There's a point, there's a reason behind that. How many times did he verbally say, "I don't know him"? Three. How many times did Jesus look at him and say, "Peter, do you love me?" Three. He wasn't going to let him get away with one. He wasn't going to let him get away with two. He's putting a nail in that thing. He's finishing it off. He's saying to Peter in every way possible, "Peter, our relationship is good." Because Jesus loves people that lay him down. And if we're going to be his disciples and we're going to be his followers, that's what we do as well. Then the last thing here is you express your belief in your shared future. Jesus said what he said for a reason. "Feed my sheep. Take care of them. Peter, I know that you failed. I know that you let me down. But now I want you to know that I have forgiven you. But not only that, I want you to know that I trust you. That I'm giving you the most important thing that I have for my followers. To take care of them, to shepherd them, to love them. I'm going to entrust them to your care." You see, what happens for a lot of us is when someone hurts us, we keep them at arm's length. We never let them close again. And eventually, that will destroy your relationship. When my girls were young, when they were teenagers, and they were going through that learning how to get along with people, they'd come home from school, and they'd be all wound up about whatever had happened with their best buddy or their best friend that day. And I would set them down, and I would say the same thing to them over and over and over again. "Listen, you know what? If you are in a relationship with someone, whether it's a friend or a boyfriend or whatever, sooner or later they're going to hurt you. Sooner or later they're going to let you down. You have to forgive them. You have to welcome them back into relationship. Because if you keep them so far away that they can't hurt you anymore, then you are keeping them so far away that they can't love you anymore either. And oh, by the way," I would tell them, "let them back in. Sooner or later, they may hurt you again. And that's okay. It's okay. Because when you love someone, you walk through the process of learning to love one another even when they let you down. Because if you don't do that, sooner or later, your circle is going to be empty. There's going to not be anyone left. Because everyone you know is human. And they're not going to get it right every single time." Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking about that toxic or that abusive relationship. Sometimes, if it is that kind of relationship, you need to walk away from that thing. It doesn't mean you don't love the person. It just means you're not going to be in a relationship with them. Because they hurt. Intentionally, abusively, toxically. But for people that are normal, everyday humans, like you and I, you have to let them in. You have to take that risk. And as we learn to love people the way that Jesus loved people, we not only forgive, but we communicate that forgiveness. And we express the belief in a shared future. That's what God has done for us, isn't it? He has said to us, "Listen, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future." You see, what's taking place here in this story with Peter is both global. It's this big piece, but it is simultaneously incredibly personal. Because God is showing us what Easter is all about. He's loving us. People that have let him down. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He created us to be in relationship with him. And from the garden on, we have been doing everything we can to run and hide from him. We're just like Adam and Eve. He says, "Don't do it," and we go do it. And then when we hear him coming, we run and hide. We're like, "Well, I hope he doesn't see this one." And God is in the process of demonstrating to us through the life of Peter, "Listen, he loves us." That's why he sent his son, the most valuable thing that he had, to reopen the door of relationship. So simultaneously you have this personal
encounter with Peter and this restoration of relationship, and then God demonstrating what He's doing for the entire world. You see, He had realistic expectations. From the moment of that first sin in the garden, God was at work to bring us back to Himself. In fact, the book of Ephesians says this. It says that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. He was at work to bring us back to Himself. He believed the best of us. When Jesus died on the cross, there was no guarantee that anyone was going to respond and ask for forgiveness and open that door of relationship. He took the first step. Romans says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He forgave us, and He's communicated it through the Bible, through the church, through all of history. It's full of God's redemptive message of love and grace. And He believes in a shared future. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's Peter's story, and that's the story of all mankind. There's really two different ways to respond to this message this morning. Number one, look for people in your life that have let you down. And it probably won't take long. You know, there's probably a couple of them around. And now you know what to do. Now you know how to love people the way that Jesus loved people. He had all kinds of people in His life that let Him down. Peter was just one example. But as He works through this process with Peter of restoration and renewal and rebuilding a relationship, we get a model of how we love people in our life who have let us down as well. You are not going to go through life without experiencing someone letting you down. How are you going to respond when that time comes? The second response that you can have is to respond to God reaching out to you. Perhaps you've never understood that Easter is God personally doing with you what He did with Peter that day. He's communicating to you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. It doesn't matter how far you are. It doesn't matter how often you may have lived. You might be just like Peter. You may have lived a life going, you know what? Don't know Him. Don't care to know Him. Don't want to know Him. But in the middle of where you are this morning, there's this emptiness on the inside that says there's something missing. There's something that I need. There's something that I want. God wants to be in a relationship with you. You may have taken the life that He gave you, and you may have just used it as your own with never a thought about Him. But all you have to do is just like Peter say, Lord, yeah, I've blown it. I've disappointed you. I've let you down. But I want to come back. I want to be in a relationship with you. Today, if you want to open that door of relationship with God, I want to ask you to do two things. Number one, I want to ask you to pray with me, because I'm going to pray here in just a second. And then afterwards, just let me know that you've done that so I can get some information to you. I promise not to plague you. I promise not to stalk you. But I do want to make sure that you get some information that will help you as you build that relationship with God. The other thing that you might need to do is you might need to go home, make a phone call. Maybe someone in your life that you need to let them know, hey, yeah, it hurt. Yeah, I was angry. Yeah, you let me down. But I want you to know, I forgive you. I'm learning how. I won't get it right every time. But together, we can figure this out and build the kind of relationship that gives us a future together. If you're here this morning and you want to have that relationship with God, if you're a little bit like Peter and you've kind of wandered away, and you want to come back, just listen as I pray. Pray along with me. And God will welcome you just the same way He did Peter. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the opportunity this morning that we have to learn how to love people the way that Jesus did. And God, I'll confess to You that I'm not very good at that. It's not something that comes naturally to me. It's not something that comes easily to me. Being angry does. Being vengeful does.
being hurt, being bitter, that comes so easily. But forgiving, loving, rebuilding, God, I need your help for that. We all do. So Lord, we know that we have let you down. That in many ways in our life, we have lived as if you weren't even there. We've done so many things that dishonor you, dishonor ourselves, and sometimes the people in our life. Forgive us for that. Like Peter this morning, we want to say we love you. We want you in our life. We want to listen to you, walk with you day by day, and be in a real, meaningful relationship with you. With you as the central and most important part of our life. So Lord, today I pray that you will forgive us. Forgive me. We welcome you into our heart, into our life. We ask you to show us the future that we can have with you. The one that you can see and that we can't see yet. And right now we commit ahead of time to do whatever it is that you call us to do as we walk with you through life. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, taking our place, paying the price for our sin. Amen. Ella, I want to thank you for being here this morning, taking the opportunity to come out and celebrate this Easter Sunday morning. We're going to have one more song as we close together. I'll be standing down front. If you want somebody to pray with you...